Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time. So, Miles... This Miles ain't wrong. Let me get to the calls here in a second. By the way, go ahead and watch us on YouTube Live. I've been trying to tell you guys it's not an act. It's not an act. If I could act that mad, I would be in Hollywood a long time ago. If we are acting, this is the Daniel Day-Lewis of radio shows. I will tell you that. So go ahead and watch us on YouTube Live, 92.3 The Fan on YouTube. Somebody said I was wearing Pittsburgh colors. This is blue. This is like blue and green. Whatever. Anyway, I'm just so damn depressed. I don't know. It's 6:29 in the morning. I mean,
Listen, Ken. I can say this all week because this is more visceral for Ken because of Stark County Pittsburgh Steelers fans. This we tried to put it off all week. If you notice, we didn't really break down the game much last week.
They didn't give us a chance. They were trading players.
Right.
Schefter had a report right before the game yesterday about trading players.
Every veteran player the Browns have could be traded.
He named Otto Graham. I was like, this guy here is dead.
So we didn't do a lot of breaking down the game. And I think a lot of that was for a purpose because I think we secretly knew. Now, there's always a way. It's the NFL.
Did you know Tyson Campbell would be in man coverage against DK Metcalf the whole game?
And actually, I thought he held up for a while until he didn't hold up anymore.
They started scoring touchdowns.
And eventually, that dam's going to break, and it broke.
Yeah. If you could score more than nine points,
it would have been easier to stomach.
Yeah.
If you could do more than Andre Schmidt as your entire offense, it might have been a little bit easier to take.
And when you think about it deep down, it's like we always struggle in Pittsburgh, even the good Browns teams that we've had, and we've had some good ones. We had when Nick Chubb was good and in his prime, and Baker, the times he was playing well, and they didn't win in Pittsburgh. And then you trot out Dillon Gabriel in his second game, and then all these rookies that don't just contribute, they start. They have to be relied upon. You're relying on these rookies. So... the formula we knew going into it. That's why we didn't do a lot of breaking the game down this week.
Anyway, let me get to Miles here. You can't trade Miles. Miles isn't wrong. Miles is right about what he's saying. I'm sure it's frustrating, and I know it would be nice for the defense to be able to operate with a lead. That's not happening. But here's more of Miles. Go right on ahead. Go ahead.
When you watch their pass rushers able to get after it because they have a 2 or 3 score lead, what goes through your head?
Must be nice.
He did a little... Yeah, man. But you can't trade him. It's an untradeable contract. So, I mean, his dead cap space for next year's... It's dead cap hit for next year's $73 million. I mean, that's... Is that officially more constrictive than the Deshaun Watson?
Yeah. He's untradeable.
He had his chance. Guys, he had his chance. And he took the money, which you can always take money. I'm not going to fault anybody for taking money. But the whole, we got to trade him. Listen, man, you could wish in one hand and you know what the other. He signed the deal. There's a no trade clause, which whatever. I'm sure he would waive that for the right team. That doesn't matter. But the dead cap space is just outrageous. So you might as well get used to it. Because I don't think if he would have left, I don't want people to get mad at him for not leaving. Like, that's the thing. Some people got mad because he said he wanted out, and then I don't want him to get mad for not leaving because, boy, it'd sure be nice to have 2 more first-round picks. It would sure be nice on a team that's not going anywhere to have more to look forward to into the future instead of, honestly, what are we looking forward to now for the rest of this year? Shador, and then the other guy we're dreading. We're looking forward to one guy playing. It's October 13th. We're looking forward to one guy playing.
He's definitely going to play now this year, isn't he?
Which one?
Both.
Shador's definitely going to play.
Yeah.
And I will be there with bells on and rooting like crazy. But the other guy, whatever, let it wash over you. It can be worse, but as of right now, I think it can't be any worse. But for Miles, I have no sympathy. I'm sorry. I know that there's like the Joel Bitonio part brought into it. There's the Joe. He was asked specifically about Joe's legacy and things like that. I can't. You had your chance. And if you would have really stuck to your guns and said, it's about winning, I want out of here, I really think a lot of fans, especially now as you're sitting at 1-5, I think a lot of fans probably would have understood. See, that's how bad it is. There were years ago when they flirted with the idea of trading Joe Thomas to Denver. You remember that. There were a lot of people almost hoping for it to do right by Joe. It would be different this time with Miles because there's such an impact to defensive end. But I think if you were sitting here at 1-5 and Miles Garrett was playing for the Green Bay Packers right now, you'd be sitting there going, yeah, well, at least we got four first-round picks next year. This is amazing. Or, you know, 3 first-round picks next year and 2 the year after that. We're set up really well, and we could sit there and have that argument. But he didn't. So he stayed for the money, and he stayed because he's part owner of the Cavs community. I don't know, money, and I'm fine with that, but I just don't feel any sympathy. I feel so bad for Miles. Like, no, I can't. You had your chance. You didn't get out.
Here's the thing. How many people, the people that did care, that reached out, because those are annoying texts to get during a game like that yesterday, how many people did you get bitching about his numbers yesterday?
Few.
I got a few. The few. People that did want to weigh in, because you're not going to go and blast like rookies. You're just not going to do that. You're going to look to the top. You're always going to go coach, quarterback, Miles.
Well,
it's every time. And Miles has been pretty quiet the last two games.
Well, TJ has been relatively non-existent, and then he shows up against the Cleveland Browns. And hey, he did a great job yesterday. He played very, very well. Credit where it's due. He looked really good. I think people don't watch the Steelers if they're Browns fans, and why would you? So they don't see. They only hear a little bit about TJ Watt, but then you got this pseudo head-to-head matchup here.
And his brother's calling the game.
Yes, and TJ Watt's making plays, and Myles Garrett, and I could say, well, he's getting double-teamed, this, that, and the other. He's still Myles Garrett. And I could sit there and say what I want to about ankles, but then I look at the contract and I go, you can't excuse it. That's what comes with the territory. You signed for the money. You're expected to do better. You didn't do better. You got to deal with the criticism. And you're going to be one of the chief people criticized because you're one of the biggest names on a team that people are mad at right now. See, that's what goes with this. Like, there's definitely I'm definitely not pulling anything away from Kevin or Andrew or Paul DiPodesta, who always gets forgotten in these moments of 1-5. What is our strategy? I wish I could tell you this doesn't seem to be a great strategy, but okay. But then Miles is right underneath that because he's the cornerstone of the franchise.
But his effort yesterday, they were down immediately, and that's a game where they need him to find a way to make some plays. And I just didn't see the crazy effort out of Miles yesterday. Forget about the numbers are not always going to tell the story. Because Miles,
I think yesterday,
Miles makes life easier on everybody else.
Yes, but yesterday I think is when it finally came to its crescendo, and I thought Jerry Jeudy might have his freak out, and I know they said during the broadcast, you know, Jim Schwartz is saying that this team, it's not like other teams, right? They're still in it together. Yeah, I know Jim has said that, but then I saw what I saw on the field yesterday, and you can't tell me that defense, and then you hear what Miles said in the postgame, you can't tell me that defense isn't upset with that offense. You can't tell me that defense doesn't resent that offense.
Well, and they also,
because you have no hope. It was first and goal from the 3.
Yeah.
You don't have hope. It's been 11 straight games. How many's it been under 7 or 18 points? They gave that number yesterday too. We were trying to shoot for 20. That's too much. Now we're trying to shoot for 18. I guess we got to crawl before we walk.
My
as an
number
offense.
Was 20, and I believe it's 21 or 24 now under 20.
Because nothing's changed.
Well, and people start saying if you nothing's take out changed. The Jameis Winston games, if you take those games out, it's even. The numbers are drastically worse.
6 years of the same offense. It takes a lot to change up your offense. And I know they've flirted with it and tried it to terrible results in the past. It takes a lot. You go back to some of the legendary names, there were some really big controversial decisions to change their offenses years ago, pro and college. It takes a lot, but good God almighty. this is, and I don't, it's not like you would switch to a different offense and everything would just click. Not pointing that out, but man, it's just, we're saying the same, almost said another word, we're saying the same stuff that we said 6 years ago. We're saying the same stuff we said when things were good. It's the same thing. Nothing seems to have evolved. If I go back and I get these notes that I take, these copious, pointless notes, because they weren't going to win, if I take these notes and go back and look at them from 5 years ago, it'll probably be the same stuff with just different people. It's the same thing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I don't know why I'm so mellow today. Maybe just because I felt like I just didn't feel vested in yesterday's game. I mean, we've talked about, I think we've all talked ad nauseum about what happened last week, where we're going last week. I just don't know where the team's going right now. I just don't get it. The play calling was really confusing to me. It was confusing. I still, we've got a defense that can keep you in every game.
I don't understand what they were trying to do. Play calling wise.
I think the Steelers had a good game plan for the Browns defense yesterday. They were able to, they were slashing yards early in the game that we just haven't seen anybody do all season long.
And the Steelers had only 9 points in the first half.
Yeah, I mean,
defense was okay. Defense
is it worse that they're in every game defensively and it makes you think, oh, they could do this? And then we all have like these magical epiphanies that we think the team's going to come back, even though they're down by 20. I'll give you this. They had 9. They were down, 11 at one point there or somewhere around that. And you're like, oh, yeah, they'll do this. And then I'm like, well, yeah, they can't get over 20 points. Why are you even getting emotional about this? There's no way. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is either. It doesn't. Get me to 20 points and I'll start to believe at some point.
It's 11 straight games of 17 or fewer points.
And what, they have 3 since Flacco had those 300-yard games 2 years ago of 20 or more since then? 20-some games. Three times they've gone over the 20 threshold. That's ridiculous. I say it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Like, get some pride, guys. Get some pride. Everybody else in the NFL is averaging 21.3 points per game or 24.3 points per game.
It's not pride, Andy. They don't have talent. I mean,
I don't even know if it's the pride of the players that are out there, whether it's talent or not. I don't understand some of these play calls. I just don't get them. I understand that once you say hike, everything is in the quarterback's hands. Although I also think that they've done Gabriel no favors at all. None. The only time that he was in a good position on this team was the moment that he got drafted until the moment they drafted Shadur. And now on Sunday, they go up against the Dolphins and he struggles. Man, we got big. The fans are going to go nuts. Those fans that bother to go to the game, they're going to be screaming for Shadur.
I received this text. You tell me, and this is from a buddy of mine, and I don't agree with him. He said, so how long does Haslam tolerate Stefanski sticking with Gabriel when his seemingly only equity is being drafted 2 rounds ahead of Sanders? Is Sanders better? We don't know. But he can't be worse than what we saw yesterday with Gabriel leading the way. Different years, same questions, but with different names. I'll be honest. I thought Dylan Gabriel was just fine for a second NFL game, being asked to throw 52 times behind an offensive line that didn't pass block very well, allowed him to be sacked 6 times, as Joel Bitonio said yesterday, and he was hit 16 times, I believe the count was. As Joel Bitonio said, when you ask the guy to throw 60 times, he's going to get hit. That's your... That's your best offensive lineman saying that. It's true.
I mean, Gabriel has never been put into a spot. Like the play calling right now, I just don't know. Everyone's, oh, he's mobile. He's mobile. I don't know if he's mobile or not because he's not in any kind of play that makes me think that he's mobile. Or, you know, I've seen him duck out of a couple pocket pressures that he's been able to get out of. We've seen that 2 weeks in a row. I don't want to judge this guy right now like he's a five-year veteran. He's a two-game veteran. That's it. If you want to call that a veteran. He's got two games under his belt, and we're crushing him because, let's face it, the other guys...
No, we're not.
Well, you and I aren't crushing him, but I'm listening to everybody else crush him because the other guy's more entertaining. Because his father was the king of entertainment when it came to the NFL.
More hype around him. Could he be better? Maybe.
I don't know. And by the way, I want to watch him play too. I want to see what Sanders can do. I mean, Gabriel is. This is possibly the worst position any rookie quarterback's been in whenever. I don't even.
When it comes to problems on the offense, I don't think Dylan Gabriel is even in the top five. I don't think he's even in the top five. Play design, play calling, wide receivers. Offensive line, there's four right there, right off the top of my head. Peter is in Westlake. He called 216-474-0092. Peter, good morning to
you. Hello, Peter.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm calling because I'm frustrated with the fact that the 2025 Cleveland Browns are averaging less passing yards per game, rushing yards per game, and points per game than the 2015 Cleveland Browns, the 2016 Cleveland Browns, the 2017 Cleveland Browns, and the 2024 Cleveland Browns. That's just historically, that's just bad. I mean, and those were awful teams, and we're worse than those teams. Total yards per game, less, completely less than all four of those seasons. And the frustrating thing is that when Stefanski gets asked after all these games, like, What are you doing? Like, he just keeps saying, well, we got to be better. We got to look at the tape. We have the list of things that we need to do. It's like, yes, we know what needs to be fixed too, because we have eyeballs. And guess what? They are the same things that we keep asking you about week in and week out. Clearly, you're not fixing them. You can't block. You can't catch. You can't drive the ball downfield. You can't get out of your own way. They don't have stupid penalties that kill drives. They don't have stupid penalties that are personal fouls because they don't know how to stay level-headed when teams start jawing at them. It's like, what are you doing during practice during the week, man? What is going on?
Peter,
you keep saying we have the list of stuff to do. You're not doing it.
Would you like chicken liver?
I don't like chicken liver. It tastes like metal.
Some people say it tastes like chicken.
Some people can make chicken liver, but not if you start with something else. And what I'm going to say here is this. I thought the play calling was bad yesterday. All right, that was on Kevin. There's only so much you can do with the talent you've been given to work with on offense. I think he should have run the ball a lot more. I do. That's the strength of the offensive football team, and they didn't do it. It makes me think this. Either you completely butchered the play calling, or you've been given marching orders this year that the results aren't as important as the information that you're going to find out. You know, if anybody thought this team was built to go to the playoffs this year, I think, you never heard that come out of my mouth. I think that's foolishness. The wide receiving crew is lacking. I mean, take a look at some of the wide receiving crews around the NFL. They're guys who make plays. The guy that our team is basing its offense around at wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, has struggled. Let's just leave it at that. Okay, mm-hmm. I think Jerry's a competent NFL wide receiver. From the day they brought him in, I said, don't get all excited and start talking number one, because just because you're somebody's number one doesn't mean you're comparable to other teams' number ones, because he's not. Doesn't mean he can't play in the league. He certainly can. But you didn't add any big talent to that wide receiving group.
Tell me that Joe Flacco wasn't the happiest guy on earth yesterday, even just for a moment, when Jamar Chase made that unbelievable touchdown catch yesterday.
He's throwing to sports cars, man.
I mean,
Chase and Higgins.
That guy was all over Chase, and I have no idea how he caught that touchdown pass with one arm. That was incredible. And you think, I mean, again, what Joe got to 18 yesterday. So congratulations.
Jerry's in Lakewood. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. You know what?
What?
Joe did score 18 points. Now, let's be honest.
Is that an accomplishment, Jerry?
Well, Joe had two touchdown passes. He didn't kick those field goals. Just so you know. Oh, and by the way, how about McPherson? Did you see the 67-yarder that didn't count? Oh, man. Tell me you didn't feel bad for him on that one. I wanted it to go through.
The Bengals had 18 points. Joe was quarterback. Everybody, you guys were preaching, now we got to get rid of Joe.
Wait. At what point? Hey, don't tell me that I was saying get rid of Joe Flacco. You're 1,000% wrong. I never once said get rid of Joe Flacco. So if you're going to bring it, you better come with knowledge. But
he's got an offensive line.
I got it, but don't tell me that I said something that I didn't say. I never once said get rid of it. Say you're sorry, and then we'll go on with the phone call. Say you're sorry. Oh, bye, Jerry's Jerry. Not happy. Did you ever once hear me say get rid of Joe Flacco? Ever?
I thought you were going to build a statue for the guy.
Don't have bad info, man.
I said you never should have brought him in.
Jeff, here's the other thing that's driving me nuts. Everybody lumps everybody together.
Oh,
so if Ken says something stupid on the morning show, that doesn't mean that we said something stupid in midday.
Are you saying Ken said something stupid?
No. Or Anthony. Here, Anthony can take it. Anthony. If Anthony said something stupid to try to drive clicks, it's not like we said it. Just be right. Don't accuse me and Jeff of things that we didn't do. That'll get you run quicker than anything ever. And we don't run anybody. We don't. We get yelled at. We get called into meetings. You know, you let that caller go too long. Why did you let that guy go as long as you did? You know why? Because Jeff and I want to hear what you have to say.
Not really.
But don't be an idiot and tell us something that we didn't say. Okay? Thank you.
Larry's in East Cleveland. Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Welcome to the show, day. Larry.
It's a great time to jump in on the show.
Listen, I was looking at Dillon Gabriel's combine stats. And they said he threw a ball almost 75 miles per hour.
Yeah, he's got Larry, he has a strong arm.
Yeah, well, why not just not show it short-wise? Why not show it deep? Because with speed comes distance. So if he can throw a ball that fast, there's got to be some distance behind there. We haven't seen him throw a ball 30 yards or more since he's been quarterback.
Agree. He did. The one time he did, it was the last play of the half.
The
Hail Mary, they got intercepted. And then, but it didn't count because there was the play came back.
And then they didn't throw another one.
And then they didn't do it again. Although I wonder if Isaiah Bond has a bump on his head from the ball that he didn't see yesterday that bruised through his helmet.
Yeah, I wish it had it. I wish that had knocked him down, you know.
Shaking your head over there.
Okay, guys.
Hey, Larry, they asked the poor kid to throw 52 times yesterday. Behind an offensive line that let him get hit 16 times and sacked 6 times.
I get it, Jeff. That's like a starting pitcher going, you know, into the 12th inning and not having a break. You know what I mean?
Larry, I don't get it, Larry. All right, Larry, thank you very much.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
That makes 8 GM and head coach moves since December of 2022, making Jimmy Haslam look like a Rooney member.
Well, and the part that stuck out to me on this is that if you know Callahan's record over the previous 2 years, it's the same exact record that Kevin Stefanski has in that time frame as well, as 4-19. And it's obvious just because, 3 wins last year, and then we have the same situation this year. No one thought he was good at this.
Yep.
When he got the job, no one thought he was good at this. Yeah. This is the least surprising thing ever.
In fairness, when you give an offensive coordinator who takes credit for Joe Burrow's success, the head coaching job. This is how it's supposed to go. In fairness, you can't coach in quicksand, which might be where we are with Kevin Stefanski after the Pittsburgh loss yesterday, which has been described in many ways. I would probably start the conversation with uninspiring, unwatchable, unserious, not fun, and altogether craptastic.
The uninspiring one is the one that really stood out to me there. Offseason, I think you tried making the case this would be the most competitive three-win team. Well, for this game, they were not the competitive three-win part of that. They were very uncompetitive. They were very unserious, as you said. And I think that's the part that bothered me the most. Not only did they seem like they were never going to score, they just seemed like they were lifeless out there. They were dead. There were zombies just walking around on the field. It was awful.
There are one or two ways that you can take that I think our media brethren has taken the Browns 1-5 start. One is I told you so, which we'll get to in a second. The other is revisionist history, which is, I would say, lower than hack if you just can't say I was wrong about anything, right? Like, yeah. You and I feel like we do a good job being like, ooh, missed on that one.
Well, it's hard. I mean, it's there's so many things we just miss on. Yeah. Like, it's just very easy to be like, hand
occupational
up our bad.
Occupational hazard, right?
That's what the right way to describe it. Occupational hazard, you're going to miss. It happens.
I even think, though, there's an element of I was wrong in some of the people saying, we knew the Browns were going to be this bad. It's like, no. You knew they had a great chance of being 1-5. That's the part of this that isn't surprising. The surprising part is how undisciplined they are. Mm-hmm. The surprising part is how their age of their core players has shown. The surprising part is how Kevin Stefanski, who heralded, we're going to go back to the wide zone, we're going to go back to my old offense, how just completely inept. We thought it would be a bad offense. We didn't know it was going to be a historically bad offense. They're undisciplined. Mm-hmm. I've heard, this is not a thought that I espouse, I've heard several friends say they're unlikable. I don't know that I agree with that, but I mean, Jerry Jeudy's OPI was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen, especially from somebody who Kevin Stefanski said after the game is one of their leaders. You can't be undisciplined. You can't lack toughness on offense, although that's not a rubber stamp for everybody. And you just cannot be as bad as they are. Yes, we thought they might be 1-5. We didn't know they would be an uncompetitive 1-5, which is mostly what they've been outside of 3 minutes against Green Bay.
Well, and it's the penalties and it's the drops that I'm just at my wit's end with. I mean, maybe this is part of the roster construction problem. When you bring Jerry Jeudy, who always is close to the league lead in drops, and then David Njoku, who 2 years ago, remember he had to put a jug machine in his living room because he was trying to work on not dropping the football as often, and then the drops came up yesterday. You know,
I didn't know it was one of those jug machines. I thought it was a different jug machine. That's clearly on me. Yeah. That's on me, dog.
Well, I was always like, is he's not worried about the really expensive like paintings and vases and everything he has in that living room? He just puts a jugs machine right in the living room? What's going on? And like you know Harold Fannin's college game better than I ever will, but like did he drop a lot of passes at BGSU? Was that a thing with him?
No.
Because he's dropping them now.
He had, I don't even remember that, Connor Bazelak throwing him the ball. He was pretty sure-handed at BG.
But he's dropping them now, though. That's the difference. And it's like, it's you know, it's funny. I was sitting there. I had Elise's aunt over for dinner yesterday, and we're having pizza, and she was just like, so they had the new quarterback in, and she's like, I was explaining how left-handed quarterbacks aren't a thing in the NFL. Yeah. And then she's like, so does he just not throw a catchable ball? Is that what that is? And I'm like, you know what? It sounds stupid when you say it, but that is a thing. It is a thing with left-handed quarterbacks in particular, but it is a thing just in general in the NFL. And it sounds so simplistic and so easy. Like, does Dylan Gabriel just not throw a catchable ball, but then Joe Flacco wouldn't as well? I'm going to put it more on the drops with these guys.
I just feel like, specific to the Browns, I guess we just run the league in terms of uncatchable balls. Like, I feel like every quarterback that ever comes here, we're like, this guy can't throw a catchable ball. I'm like, we just can't find receivers, you know, their head from their ass.
Well, then, like, Chad O'Shea has been the only constant throughout any of this mess. And he, the wide receivers coach, he's been here the entire time. Does he just not have him use the jugs machine except when it's their living room? Like, I'm so confused by this.
The Browns are going to buy you one of these, but you can't have it in Berea. You have to have it in either finished basement or in your actual living
room. They're so averse to the jugs machine, actually, and joking to buy his own. Like, he got one on Marketplace, and then he puts it into his living room.
That's a problem. You got it on Temu.
The discounted one.
You got your jugs machine on Temu. You got your quarterback on Temu. I mean, this is... It's a warning sign.
It's just like, what's happening here?
I mean, the Browns are worse than we could have imagined at 1-5. They are. Like, there is a competitive 1-5. I've said I want the most competitive 4-13 team in the NFL. You're not even getting that. And what I think is interesting is trying to navigate these two fixed points. Whether this was the worst loss of the season or just the most recent one, because I think the fact that it was to Pittsburgh and the fact that, again, you got punked. Like, often not defensively, but offensively, you got punked. They slapped you around. Your wide receivers were afraid to go over the middle. Your quarterback wouldn't stop lining guys up to get teed off of over the middle. Your head coach is coaching, and I think it's fair to say he's coaching conservatively. Some might maybe say it that he's coaching a little scared right now on offense. Like, all of it comes together. I tend to think this was just the latest loss. I don't know that this was truly the worst loss, but I understand why Browns fans feel like this was the worst loss.
I think the Ravens one might end up being the worst one because that defense just looks so bad now. And the Ravens look so bad right now. And that was they dog walked you.
Yeah.
Only when the Ravens have this season. And they absolutely destroyed the Browns in that game. And it was at the time we just kind of looked at it like, well, it's Lamar and it's the Ravens. They're going to be awesome, but they're not. That defense, how do we not score 20 points on that defense, Nick?
I also will say, I know the Lions have dog-walked everyone. The Lions made your defense look like the 15th best defense, not top five defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think maybe that's the point, is in half the games, you've been blown out. And I know that the schedule's tough. Yeah, everybody's got a tough schedule. It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to get blown out. I honestly think, John Harbaugh has shot atop, now that Brian Callahan's been fired.
Yeah.
John has kind of shot atop the leaderboard, and I don't think it's the fact they're 1-5. I think, or 1-4, excuse me. I think it's the fact that in their losses, they've gotten way too many blowouts, even if Lamar Jackson wasn't their quarterback the last week or so.
Well, I mean, in that case with the Ravens, it really makes it seem like it's everything that happens is because of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
That's it.
Which tracks with most of the teams in the NFL, by the way. You lose your franchise quarterback, you're not going to play good football.
Well, at least in Cincinnati, yesterday with Joe Flacco in there, obviously they're not playing good football. You're right about that. But so many beat reporters around Cincy were immediately like, this offense looks like it can do something now. They didn't get embarrassed yesterday. I think that's what you're looking for in those situations. Whereas with the Ravens, they've been embarrassed every stretch of the way now.
Would you put this closer to the worst loss of the season or just the most recent?
Yeah, no, I think it's the Ravens game. I think that's the worst loss of the season. But this one is really, this is the one. So last week, it was bubbling under the surface. And I thought it was a real turn on Stefanski last week. And they did nothing to dispel that. In fact, in a game where Dylan Gabriel completed 55% of his passes and should have had about seven interceptions in that game. He didn't, obviously. They weren't caught. Not catchable football. They can't even catch him.
I actually like that.
Works? See how that one works?
Yeah, can't be intercepted if you can't catch the damn ball.
That's right. In a game where he looked, we'll talk about it later exactly how he looked. He was like the 12th biggest problem in that game. I mean, he's so low on my depth chart of problems that the Browns displayed yesterday. Whereas at least in other games, we could look and be like, well, that wasn't great because Joe didn't do his job and we don't have the quarterback to get after it. This was a full team outside of Andre Schmidt, a full team disaster.
I think what it comes down to me and why I empathize everything that everyone has said about this game and why it stunk so much and the unwatchability, it's bad enough to be awful. Can you just be watchable? And you couldn't. The most watchable thing that happened was Isaiah Bond getting doinked on the helmet because he wasn't looking at the quarterback. Not mad about that.
I actually knew that ball was going to Jamari Thrash. That was my takeway. I've Zapruder filmed that
is
one.
Is that why Bond was screaming at Thrash?
That's why he was. That's why I'm convinced. Why would you? Thrash was screaming at Bond.
Oh, okay.
Thrash was screaming at Bond.
I only saw the return fire.
I went back and watched that because I thought that was, first off, the play was just, it's comical in many ways. And also I was like, I want to find out what happened in this play. And either it was the worst design play in NFL history where you would have Bond at the exact time that Thrash was wide open in the end zone, or Bond just didn't do the right thing and cut him off and then doink in the head right as Thrash. If you go look at it, Thrash was open.
Right.
He's sitting there open in the end zone waiting to catch the ball 10 yards beyond.
We're not looking at this the right way. Isaiah was so excited for his teammate to catch the touchdown, and he was watching Jamari Thrash run that route, and he was thinking to himself, that's the prettiest route I've seen run today.
I mean, it's not
he was just admiring his teammate and what a graceful athlete Jamari Thrash was.
Yeah, I got
not paying attention.
A real gazelle, that Jamari Thrash. I got lost in his speed.
But no, this comes down to two things for me. This comes down to, on the hand of, it can't possibly be the worst loss of the season. You made two huge trades earlier this week, and we can laugh at them. We can laugh at Flacco being the backup. Those traits matter in a locker room, especially one that has lost consecutive games and knows that their winning days might be numbered, right? And then the second thing was London. So that juxtaposed with Tomlin never blows anyone out. You took a team.
He tried to let you back in.
I'll be honest with you. I watched the Steelers. I went into that game thinking, they're good. They just got to figure it out. To coming away thinking, they're pretty mid. And yet they still blew you out by a significant amount.
Legitimately, for like a quarter and a half, had the thought of, wow, Aaron Rodgers doesn't look anything close to what the Aaron Rodgers I used to think looks like.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this could be anybody. Just give him with the last name Rodgers on his jersey. It could be just about anybody. And then he picked it up a little bit. But, there was nothing special about that.
How about the Metcalf Sherlock touchdown? I mean, you just got to get it there. And what was it? Was it 7 yards short?
It was a lot short.
And then with DK moving Rogers, back towards the ball, by
Rogers
the way.
Looked up to the heavens as if it was like the wind's fault.
Yeah,
that was a great reaction. Yep. So many people like fake injuries in that moment. He looked up like, gust of wind. Gust of wind got that
act
one.
Act of God. Now, of course, Aaron thinks he's God, so it may have been an act of Aaron Rodgers as well.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.